Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask it once again that You would work in our hearts and in our minds to show us the greatness of the salvation that You provided, and may we always return the good news that You have given to us with praise. Heavenly Father, please be pleased to work through Your Word in power and draw us near to Yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 25 and continue reading through verse 35. But we'll be looking just at the Song of Simeon, verses 29 through 32 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. Hear now the word of our God from Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the last of the five songs in the Gospel of Luke regarding the birth of, surrounding the birth of our Savior. And it is called in Latin the Nunc Dimittis, which is really cool sounding. I really like that name. It sounds very, you know, monumental. It really doesn't mean anything that you might expect it from what it sounds like. It means now I diminish. Now I depart. Because those are the words that begin the song. And yet if we reflect upon what Simeon is saying here, they're absolutely monumental. Because this servant of the Lord can go to death with absolute joy, for his eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. That's what we're going to look at this afternoon. We kind of, to get a little bit of a grasp of where we are with the five songs, we're at the last one, as I said, and you kind of have this building up to the song that we just considered this morning. The Gloria in Excelsis Deo is sort of the peak, if you will, the climax of the five songs. And now it's the trajectory is going down, but not down in a bad way, but just to the conclusion. This is the conclusion now of what we have because Christ has come. You're all familiar with the story arc, right? Here we are at the end. This is the fitting end to the birth narrative of Jesus. As with all the songs in the scriptures, there's not just clear gospel truth springing from every page, but there's also deep gospel love, joy, and peace. Clear reality wedded with deep emotion to help us get a sense of the deep passion there is in this song. Let's begin looking at what we know of the man who sings it, because I think that helps us understand why he says what he says here. Because we oftentimes look at the we're tempted to look at the bare bones truth that is in within a passage. But it's also important for us to understand the emotion that is being communicated to us and that's leaping off the pages, if you will, to tell us exactly not only how we are supposed to think about the coming of our Savior, as we see in this song, but also how we're supposed to feel about the coming of our Savior. We're not told a lot about Simeon. This is the only place in all of Scripture that Simeon is mentioned. But we are told in this section enough for us to know the kind of man that he was. We're told that this man was a great saint. He was righteous or just and a devout man, meaning he was dedicated entirely to the Lord and acted righteously to all those who were around him. We're also told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Children, that's a big word, consolation. But what that means is that Simeon was waiting for the Messiah to come. He was waiting for the promises of God to meet their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Now, children, when it's almost Christmas or almost your birthday, how hard is it for you to wait to open your presents? Especially if you know that you're going to get something that you're really excited about. Well, it's not easy. Especially if those presents are there sitting under the tree, right? There's always the constant temptation, at least I can remember the temptation when I was a wee lad, to pick up the box and give it a good little shake. What's in there? Right? Maybe can I, without tearing the tape, just peek through and see the box, right? What's in there? Because we have that excitement to know what is in there. What surprise gift do I have? Well, here you have Simeon, who we are told in this story was told by the Holy Spirit, who was upon him, that he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, until he had seen Jesus, the anointed Savior of God's people. Now, we're not told how old Simeon was when the Holy Spirit revealed this to him, but the text certainly implies that Simeon had been waiting for a very long time for Christ to come. Imagine waiting for years for the Christ to come, for God to fulfill His promise to you that in your lifetime the Messiah would come. And then imagine, this is a promise that wasn't just given to me specifically, like it is that, certainly. He's going to see it in his lifetime. But the promise of the Messiah goes back thousands of years to Adam and Eve. And that all of those people, all those brothers and sisters in Christ from years back, they've all been waiting, all the people of God have been waiting for Christ to come. They've all heard the promise and they've been waiting expectantly for it. And now Simeon has this revelation that the Messiah is going to come in his lifetime. Imagine the sense of expectation that Simeon has, the excitement for when is the Christ going to come. Now, after the Holy Spirit had revealed that to him, he probably had a lot of... The temptation was to have a lot of enthusiastic excitement for that promise to come true quickly. Right? Adam and Eve had that. They gave birth to Cain. And what does Eve say? The Lord has given me a man. What did she say that for? Because the Lord provided the Messiah. She thinks he's already come. What didn't come into her mind that it would be about 4,000 years later that Jesus would come? Right? But now, here's Simeon having to wait years. Imagine the strength of faith it took for Simeon day after day, hoping and knowing that there was going to be a day in his life when the Christ was going to come, when he was going to meet him. Now, we haven't been told by the Holy Spirit that we will be alive when Christ returns. But I wonder, are we waiting with the same eagerness and the same expectancy for Christ to come again as Simeon does for Christ to come the first time here? Are we just trying to survive in our lives? Sometimes it feels that way. Are we just trying to get through the Christmas season and the busyness of all of it? How much thought have we given over the last while to the sure hope that we have that Christ will come again and deliver us from all of our sin and all the effects of sin? Have we been diligently trying to make this world our home? Or are we living as pilgrims passing through and are looking forward to our eternal home that Christ is preparing for us? These are questions we've got to ask ourselves to make sure that we are keeping the right things a priority of our lives. Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit on this particular day of Jesus' dedication to the Lord in the temple, goes to the temple and is led by the Holy Spirit to find Jesus. Remember, there would have been many young parents going to the temple on any given day to offer the sacrifice of redemption for their firstborn sons. But the Holy Spirit leads Simeon to the Christ. And he blesses God, meaning praising and thanking God, singing what we now read in verses 29 through 32. Simeon begins singing, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Essentially, "Lord, you have fulfilled your promise to me. Everything has happened just as you said it would. And now I am ready to die. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation." We traditionally, because of this statement, think that Simeon was an old man at this point. But he very well could have been, but he also could have been middle-aged, he could have been quite young even, 20s and 30s. Remember, a man became a man at 13 in those days. We're not told how old Simeon is anywhere in Scripture because it doesn't matter. No matter what age you are, this truth rings true. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So now I'm going to ask you a question that you probably didn't expect me to ask you on Christmas Day. But I'm sure you've gotten used to me having sermons that you don't expect. So, here it comes. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? If the Lord was to call you home right now, would you go readily? Would you go with excitement? What would be holding you back? Is there some vacation you really want to go on first? Is there some life event you want to experience first? When I was a young boy, couldn't wait till what day? What birthday do you expect I couldn't wait for? 16, man! Gotta get that driver's license. Can't wait till I can drive a car. Freedom, right? Can't wait. Or maybe it's living on your own, or getting married, or having children, or seeing your children grow up, or watching your grandkids grow up, or getting married, or all these other things, right? Or maybe you're worried about those you would leave behind. Maybe that would steal your readiness to die in this very moment. A spouse, children. There was an elder of mine in Michigan that was dying of cancer. He was quite young, late 50s, early 60s. And he was really concerned about what was going to happen to his wife. And what brought him great peace toward the end of his life and really gave him joy even in dying was this reality. It was never him that was really taking care of his wife anyway. It was always the Lord. And so he could trust his wife to the Lord's hands no matter what. Because it wasn't up to him. And he knew that even though he was gone, the Lord would take care of her. So, again, if the Lord was to call you home right now, would you be ready to go? Are we ready to die? Not exactly what you expect on a Christmas sermon. But in real terms, that's really what Christmas is all about, isn't it? What's the job description of a pastor? There's been lots of things. But one of my professors wisely said, the job of a pastor is to prepare people to die. Not exactly the most exciting job description in the world. But it is the truth. Are we ready to die? Are we ready to enjoy the perfect blessings that God has bestowed upon us in amazing ways? Are we ready to go home? As the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, in the third stanza says, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And as we think upon the blessed promises that are ours in the Lord, hasn't he given us every reason to die at any moment with absolute peace? Peace. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? We are reconciled to God. We enjoy loving harmony with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been given eternal blessings and prosperity. We have eternal life. That's all communicated to us in that one word, peace. We can go through anything in life with perfect peace. That doesn't mean we're not going to have times where we weep, where we're sad, where our hearts are broken. But it does mean that we will have a steady, solid disposition where we are anchored or tethered strongly to the rock that is Christ. We have a perfect peace in the Lord. Why? Because the realities of our reconciliation with God and the realities of our eternal life with Him are absolutely secure. They cannot be taken from us. We can go through all of life with perfect peace. Do you know that? Do you believe that? We don't have anxiety in this life because God has not provided. We don't have anxiety because God has not come through on all of His promises. We have anxiety because our faith is too weak and too small. Now, I don't say that to bludgeon you over the heads. My faith's too small too. I say that to look to your Savior, who is the one who is holding out your hand to you and says sweetly and gently to you, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Because in all reality, brothers and sisters, there isn't a single reason why we would ever doubt the Lord. And why we would ever doubt the great salvation that He has provided. We can go through all of life in perfect peace and even die in perfect peace. How? He has given you Christ and you have seen the salvation that He has provided. You know Him and you know what He went through to save you from your sin, from your sinful nature, and even from death itself. You have seen Him, the one who has delivered us all from our enemies. All of our enemies, even death itself. You have seen the one that has given us such great grace and mercy that we can go confidently to the grave at any moment because we know that we will in that moment of death be instantly translated to glory, to be in the awesome presence of our God. In closing, let's look at the last couple of lines in the song, verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We'll take them in opposite order. True glory to the true Israel. That's what Christ provides. Not just the present Israel, but the where Jesus is living in, but the Israel throughout the whole Old Testament, all of God's people. Why does Simeon sing glory to God's people? That Christ has brought glory to God's people. Why does he sing that? Because finally, all of their sins and all of their failures were put away. And finally there was one who had come from Israel that they could glory in. And one who brought glory to them. So many of the Jews of Jesus' day were proud because, why? Were born of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? And they were proud about that. But when you think about the history of God's people, there isn't actually all that much to be proud of. Even Abraham failed to trust the Lord and then a number of times. The northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed and Judah was sent into exile. Why? Because of their sin and spiritual adultery. Even the greatest leaders in Israel's history had massive moments of sin and failure. Moses hit the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Joshua made a treaty with a people he shouldn't have. Gideon committed adultery. Samson was an adulterer. David was a murderer and an adulterer. The list goes on and on and on. But now, finally, there was someone that the Israelites could boast in. There was finally someone who had made Israel, the people of God, glorious. It's Jesus. And then, in closing, let's look at that phrase, a light to the Gentiles. Finally, brothers and sisters, we are reminded that to the entire world, Christ is the light. He is the truth. He is the love. He is the holiness, righteousness, and all the glory of God. In other words, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. This Christmas day, brothers and sisters, don't just think of a baby in a manger. From all outward appearances, when Simeon held Jesus in his arms, there was nothing special about him. What caused Simeon to sing this song? He saw with his eyes of faith Jesus as his Savior, the Lamb who would take away the sin of the world. May we always see him as such, that in all of life we would trust him, and even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we would fear no evil. Why? Because Christ is with us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with such joy and wonder in our hearts as we think upon the beautiful promises that you have bestowed upon us in our Lord Jesus Christ and the realities that we already get to enjoy and walk in. Oh Lord, we pray that this day and every day of our lives we would be able to sing this song. That we would be able to say, Nunc dimittis, now I can depart. And I can depart in peace. Why? Because my eyes have seen your salvation. Oh Lord, may that be true of all of us. Heavenly Father, be with all of our loved ones on this day, and especially those who do not know you. We pray, Lord, that you would turn their hearts to see and know you as you are, and to experience the comfort and joy that can only come from faith in Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.